everyone is a star child, made of stardust and the infinite potential of the universe. This extraordinary, fearless something in each of us clamors for freedom from the bonds of fear, conformity, and an ordinary life. Welcome to Dr. Durr's Living in the Sweet Spot, where practical tools and solutions from the intersection of mind-body medicine, science, and spiritual well-being awaken and empower you to live out your infinite potential, to live life in the sweet spot. Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Valen A. Durr, your host. And thank you so much for joining me and my guest today. And I'm going to introduce you to her in just a moment. But I want to welcome you actually to, we're doing a special segment. And it's called Unapologetically Real. And the reason why we titled it that, and I do say we, because my guest, her name is Portia Carney. She and I, we've had many conversations and, you know, just kind of about ourselves and life and how do we go deeper? How do we get better? And I thought that would be a wonderful segment to bring to this platform. So that being said, let me go ahead and bring my guest, my friend, my divine goddess, divine feminine energy, Miss Portia Carney.
Well, hello there, Dr. Goddess. How are you?
I am awesome, Goddess. I am so awesome. You know what? Again, you and I have been having this conversation for a while now. Yes. And we both thought it would be so beneficial for other people to kind of listen in, as it were, to grow, to learn, again, to go deeper, that I decided, I said, you know what, rather than just waiting and kind of figuring out where it would fit, let's just go ahead and do it, right?
Let's just do it.
So, you know, I am so excited and so happy to have you join me on the platform today. And so we can continue this conversation. So for those folks who've not had the sheer delight that I have had of knowing you and being able to, again, share these conversations, let me go ahead and have you tell folks a little something about yourself.
Okay. Well, my name is Portia. I am born and raised in Chicago. I currently live in Dallas. I've been in the military. I went to Loyola University for undergrad, graduated from Texas Women's University with my MBA. I have two amazing sons, three amazing grandchildren, a great significant other. And guess what? I'm just learning about me. How did all of that happen?
Indeed. And that's what we're going to discuss today, right? Right. How did all of that happen?
So, without me knowing who I am.
Wow. And I'm sure, you know, the thing about it is, I'm sure there's so many people that can actually relate to that. And again, you know, we titled this segment Unapologetically Real. So it in that vein, what I want people to know is, you know, there are parts of me that I know too, but I'm not going to try to pretend like I know all of me and like I know all of how I got here either. So again, that's why we're having this conversation is how do we come to know ourselves? And, you know, again, you and I just met, was it last year?
Last year.
No, it was the year before.
Year before. I think in November.
Correct. So November of 2021, yep. And a mutual friend introduced us, and you know, and we just kind of clicked, kind of connected, which kind of looking back on it, yes, two Leo goddesses.
It was great.
It was, although of course, when you get two lionesses together, there's a potential for it to go sideways, but it did the wonderful thing, which of course, again, we really connected with each other like right away. And but then some time kind of went by, right? And you one day reached out to me. You remember that?
I do.
Okay.
And the conversation was just amazing from there.
So do you feel comfortable kind of sharing what kind of, and just in general, even why you reached out to me that day?
I was asking you a question. I forgot what it was, but let me tell you what I remember.
Okay.
You gave me me. And you did it in such a way that we were just having a general conversation, and you said, "Well, do you want me to listen or do you want me to respond?" And I said, "By all means, respond." And you said, "Okay." You said, "Now, do you want the truth or how do you?" I said, "I want the truth." Like, your introduction into introducing me to me was like, I didn't expect it. We didn't plan it. And it just sparked a fire from that point on. But it was really nice. It was very charismatic of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You have a way of making me listen to what I don't want to hear. Yes. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, I'm gonna listen to that. Yes. I love it and I appreciate it.
Well, you notice, and as you well know, and those folks who know me know that I am a huge Star Wars fan. So, one of the things, and you've already pointed it out, the questions that I asked you initially, because I'm asking you, as Master Yoda would say, why are you here?
Yes.
Right. So, do you want to listen? Do you want feedback? And again, try to determine how much truth you can handle
Yes.
and the delivery, right? So, you know what I know to be true, what happened with you, as it happens often with people who seek my counsel and advice and in their process of discovery, was they were asking about their relationship. And what I end up doing that they don't expect is that I always bring you back to you. Right.
Exactly.
And so I think that's the part that people are kind of surprised about, don't expect, because they expect to be told something about the person and how to deal with the person in terms of, as opposed to not recognizing that whomever you're in relationship with, that they're actually a mirror of you.
Right.
Right. And a lot of people go, a mirror of me?
What does
How
that
is that?
mean?
Yeah, what is that? What does that mean?
Yeah, because when you say a mirror of me, you're so busy looking for things in the other person and you think needs to be fixed and you don't realize you really need to fix yourself.
Well, or you know what, or not necessarily fixed, because he so actually you bring up a wonderful way to segue into this, to this, the what I think is critical and fundamental. One of the difficulties that I think that we have, and I say we as human beings, is that we confuse who we are with what we do, what we have, and what we've accomplished, what we've messed up, so our results. And the difficulty with that is that if something's wrong with you, the being, as I like to say, the divine being, the essence of who you are, there's no redemption from that. There's no recovery from that. So who you are is very different than what you do and what you have, right? You have a brain, you have a body, You have experiences, right? You make choices that create results, that create experiences. So you have those things, but they're not who you are. And so when you say that something's wrong with you, the difficulty with that is that a lot of people get stuck in, I'm damaged.
Right.
And if you're damaged, maybe you can be repaired, maybe you can't. Maybe you can recover, maybe you can't. Maybe you could heal, maybe you can't, but it's just basically, is it repairable or not? So if you understand though that who you are is already whole, complete, wonderful, the essence of the universe, as I like to, as I say, we are all star children, right? We are star child
That's
made of stardust, right? We are a child of the universe made of stardust. If you understand that you already whole, complete, and wonderful, then the things that you do or that were done to you, those things are repairable, right? So to me, that's incredibly important for people to get, right? That I'm uniquely wonderful, and I may have like just jacked up some things, right? My thinking may be jacked up. I may be really messed, may have really messed some things up, but who I am is not messed up, right? And then to take that back to then who we're picking to be in relationship with, right? You remember that part? And the part about you said, how does that mean that's a mirror of me? So do you remember what I said to you?
I do remember.
What did I say about that?
Okay. You said, hold on, wait a minute. Let me get the words right.
Okay.
Okay, wait, I can't get the words right. But okay, wait, you tell me. You tell me again, because I'm gonna mess it up.
I think it's in there, and what I already know to be true is I know you got it. So we, it's just obviously just language and just words. So again, relationships are a mirror of us. And many people think that we are looking out the window when in reality, we are looking in the mirror. What does that mean concretely? It means concretely that whatever I see is a reflection of my perspective. It's a reflection of my values and standards, my judgments, my criticisms. And therefore, who I pick is a reflection of my values and my standards. So another way to think of that, I tell people, somebody, just think of yourself as like the director, the casting director of your own movie called Your Life. And people show up, right? They show up and they're auditioning for the roles, right? And you have the option when they audition to say, you've got the part, or you have the option to say, thank you for coming. We'll be in touch. Right? But when you tell them you got the role, it's because you've decided that they've met your values and standards. Now, one of the things that people don't recognize though is when you're not feeling good about you, one of
This
your
could tie
values,
right here.
yes, then the belief that you have, which then becomes a value and a standard, becomes a standard. If it's that I'm not good enough, then what happens? You will accept someone, i.e., cast someone in the role that's going to treat you in a way that's consistent with that belief. So is it the person, or is it who is it the, is it or is it who you picked?
It's the person.
But the person is that person, but who picked them?
Right. I did. It's
Right.
my person that picked that person. That's what that
Absolutely.
is. And then when
Absolutely.
you look at that, when you look at that, like if I look back in my history and I'm picking mirror images, I can honestly say I did not love myself based on my choices and based on what I accepted. I can honestly say, oh my God, I didn't love myself. And here's the tricky part. I had no clue that I didn't, because externally, I will tell you, I love me. But I didn't know that loving me started. It's not just words of affirmation. It is truly understanding who, what, and what in the environment is good for you, good for your soul, to feed you, to nurture you, good for your spirit. And I didn't realize, yeah, my mouth was saying, I love me, but my choices was really speaking my true intention or reflection of myself.
Correct, or reflection, or your beliefs about yourself, right?
Yes. Yep.
Not the truth of yourself, but the beliefs that you
Right,
have
but the
about yourself,
beliefs. Yep.
right? And you know what? There's the truth of the matter is, of course, I obviously get it. I absolutely get it because of course I've done the same thing, much of my own life, right? You and I have discussed about. One of the things that a lot of many people are unaware of is how their childhood conditioned them to think the way they think and feel the way they feel and do the things they do, including who they pick as partners, who they pick, what kind of careers they pick, the foods they eat, the illnesses they experience. Much of that is coming from their unconscious programming, right? Their unconscious beliefs, their unconscious programming. And who, Lord.
Yeah, that see, and with this part right here, I think, like you say, it's all unconscious. Therefore, so many of us walk around sleep, thinking we're woke, because we don't have a clue. We don't have an idea that we're doing this based on, we're doing this unconsciously because we're not in tune with self. And this is where the love happens. This
So this is where the love happens.
is where the love happens.
And you know the thing that the other thing too that I think about as you were talking about that was two things. One about what does really being awoke mean and or being awake mean? And then the other thing too that I remember you saying in terms of our conversations about these things. And I'm bringing this part up for a reason. Again, based upon that conditioning that we have, it drives the things that we'll risk doing versus the things we won't risk doing. And I remember me actually coming to you and saying, Portia, I got this stuff I wanted to do in terms of this platform, but just, I'm dragging my feet. And I remember you had said to me, you get me right.
And get us right together.
Get right
Two good
together.
people together. Yes, but a person has to be in the space to receive it. They do, because if not, they're not going to hear you in the manner that they should. And once they hear you in the manner that they should, it becomes very cleansing, to say the least. Even though you go to those dark parts, we haven't even touched the rest of my dark parts. We just scratched the surface to see if I can handle
Right.
it. But once you start cleaning that part out, oh God, I'm able to go to those darker places now. But I would tell anybody, you have a way of showing they are very delicately, if I said that right,
Well,
and then they want more.
sometimes I'm delicate, but sometimes not so delicate.
I can handle it. Well, let me just say, I can handle it. But again, they have to be in the space to receive it.
Yeah.
They do. They
Well, you
do.
know, so here's the thing too that I said to you about you, because you just said he's like, you get me right together. And you're like, come on, quit playing. And my thought about that, and of course, I actually use that to help move myself forward, because what I thought to myself was, you know, why all this excessive focus, this hyper focus on those who don't receive my message or don't receive the delivery, of the message, versus people like yourself, those who value the message and those who are, you know, are just clamoring for the message because they're struggling and they don't know. You know, they're stuck, they're struggling, they're suffering, and they don't have the tools, the training, the access in order to, you know, help free themselves. And so rather than focus on those who are not open and receptive, you know, again, let me focus on those who do value, who do benefit. And so one of the things I had said to you was when you said, 'cause it always tickled me. You like, come on and quit playing.
My God, you need to quit playing, girl.
Quit
This
playing.
going. Get this going.
Right.
We're
And
drowning out here. We need you.
well, I'm not glad that you're drowning, but I'm glad that I can help, right? And so the other thing to your point though, what you said was, and what I said to you was, I said, well, but it's easy with you. The reason it's easy with you is because of the fact that, you know, frankly, I'll give you a recommendation. I said, you just do what I tell you to do. So because of that, then you get different results, right? And you get them right away because you make the adjustments right away. So then, of course, you then create different experiences. And you know, that's really the beauty of it. I tell people, if you think of me like this, if you think of me, I am a psychiatrist again, and I am a board certified child, adolescent, adult psychiatrist. So I'm not a life coach. My skill set and education and training exceed that. And that being said, though, if you still think of me though as a coach who tells you what plays to run. And how to do this, how to, create better brain health and transformative thinking. I can tell you what plays to run, but what I can't do is get out there and run the plays for you. I cannot get out on the court or the field and run the plays for you. That's up to you. That's up to each person. And, you know, I wanted to circle back to something that you had said, because I think this is very much a part of being able to run the play. And so again, whether it's myself or any other kind of therapist or any other kind of, physician or psychiatrist that gives you recommendations, each person has to be willing to execute the play themselves, right? And to circle back to something you said a bit ago was, when you raised the issue about being woke. And you know, some folks will take stuff that's meaningful and that is life-changing, frankly, because woke is barely being conscious and understanding and recognizing and accepting truth. And some folks, of course, will make it into something else in order to devalue it, and so that folks don't benefit. But you have to be woke, you have to be awake, you have to be conscious, you have to be aware, whatever word you want to use, you have to be that in order to be able to make changes in how you think, which affects how you feel and what you do in order to change your life.
That's true. You do, because you can't have, and you can't be, you can't straddle the fence with being, having an open mind, and then when you hear something you don't want to hear, you shut down, and now you're closed out from it, or you're no longer conscious of what you need to do or what steps you need to take to, let's say, understand more of who you are. You can't straddle the fence on it. You can't. It's an all-in job or it's nothing.
Yeah, and I think though to give folks some grace and to encourage them to give themselves grace is, but it's not a straight line.
It's
You know,
not.
it's more like, you know, I like the analogy. It's more like being in a sailboat where you got a tack, right? Instead of a speedboat, that's a straight line.
Right. I'm trying a straight line. I want to be in this speedboat because I'm trying to undo 53 years of what was taught to me so I can really, really be my own best friend first before I can be a best friend to someone else.
Beautifully said. Beautifully, beautifully said, guys. Beautifully said. And you know, I think again it takes us to the heart of what it means to be in relationship, right? That we're taught to seek happiness, joy, you know, contentment, you know, success, all of those things outside of ourselves, as though we're missing something. And I think that's really the problem, is that we think we're missing something, and that something or someone outside of ourselves is going to be the is going to fill the holes, is going to fill the gaps. And you know how you have those cups that may have, some of them have like, they have a whole bunch of wired mesh that you put your little pencils and pencils and pens and things like that, that cup on your desk. But if we think of ourselves like that, as we got a hole in this, it doesn't matter how much someone pours into us, it's going to run out of the hole.
Gonna run out. Yeah.
Right?
Very
So,
much so.
yeah. And so that's why it's important that we've got to discover that we're already whole and complete. And instead of how we got wounded as children and, you know, folks in our lives that maybe didn't know how to parent, didn't know how to take care of us, and again, in the process, we got, you know, a wounded, excuse me, we were wounded, abandoned, abused,
Rejected.
rejected, neglected, whatever that looked like for each of us, that any of those things that happened to us don't revoke our wholeness and our completeness and our wonderfulness, the unique, wonderful beings that we are, right? We're all energy that's organized in a certain way to appear as each of us. And that unique wonderfulness has value, no matter how we're harmed. That we still retain, we still have value. We're still uniquely wonderful. And, but without knowing that and understanding that, then again, that, to circle back around, then that ends up showing up in our relationships, because reflected, those thoughts and beliefs are reflected in who we choose, right?
It
Yeah.
is.
Yeah. So I'm curious, do you remember
We talk
something that
about
was
so
kind of,
much.
huh?
I say we talk about so many things.
Yes. So I'm curious, do you remember what I said to you that might have been surprising to you when I was talking about that it's actually not the, it's not the person. It's actually, you know, their
The
mirror
action.
view. It's you who chose them. Do you remember anything about that was surprising to you?
I think what I remember about that is that when you said that, I immediately saw myself in that person.
Really? Okay.
Because you know the things we accuse other people of, and I had to really embrace this too. The things we accuse other people of comes from within us. You know, it's not necessarily something they're doing wrong. It's coming from our place of fear where we're accusing them of something. So it's really us. I'm accusing myself. I'm not sure of myself, so I'm projecting this on another person.
Okay.
And when I put those two together like that, because you got me together about that. The first thing you said was, this is about you, honey. This is about you. You have to make sure when you talk to someone that you leave very little for them to question. Make sure your communication is clear, because if I'm not mistaken, it was a communication issue. And my reaction to it was, you stopped me immediately. You said, no. That's all about you, beloved. And I was on the phone. I was like, not aware. How is this about me? Did not want to take ownership of that. No, this is not, because if they had not have done this, I would not have responded this way. What I know now, I have a choice in how I respond. No matter what somebody else does, they didn't make me do anything. I chose. See, these are those surprise elements that comes out of this for me.
And I'm like, and I was like, hallelujah. She got it. Because so many people struggle when I say to them, such and such made me. And I'm kind of going, can I make you be an astronaut?
Right.
Like, no. I'm going, well, then I can't make you feel anything. Nobody makes you feel anything. Nobody makes you do anything. They can influence you, they can coerce you, they can entice you, they can bribe you, they can do all kinds of things to get you to elicit your cooperation and participation, but they can't make you. And again, that's such a key truth to accept, because when you accept that, when you realize that you're choosing your responses and how you think and feel, guess what you do? You set yourself free.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. And you set yourself free in so many ways. I tell you, I apply everything that we talk about, not only just in my personal life and in my relationship, but at work as well. And ironically enough, in management, all the tools they teach you in management, you can apply them at home, especially how to talk to people, talking to people in their language in order to get what you need. You have to listen, but we don't apply it at home. Like, I was not coming home applying that. No, that was just for work. That was just for work. But when you learn about yourself, when you see how you're showing up, when you realize that you're seeing yourself and other people that you choose, and you don't like what you see, and you're blaming them when it's really you. If you don't like what you see, you have to change that. You have to.
Well, you know what? So here's one of the things that I remember. And let me just say this. Both you and I, grew up with single mothers. And fathers who weren't really present.
Right.
I
Mine
certainly
was zero presence.
Yours was zero presence. Okay.
Zero presence.
So,
I don't even, I've never seen him a day in my life.
okay. So that wasn't true for me. I, you know, the, you know, visit on weekend, visit with dad on weekends and that kind of thing. And yet I think because of the time that he grew up in and his own childhood experiences, then and also, he was really young. But and it was a different time. But when you're talking like early 20s, to me that's still like really young, even though it was back then and people had kids in their early 20s, but it's still like really young. So like, what do you really know? How much do you really know about life and raising kids when you're in your early 20s?
That's true. That's
And
true.
so, so while he would be present, there was not a lot of, what I call participation, and guidance and counsel and that kind of thing. And so also when you as women have to, protect yourself, and my mom, she grew up with, it was like six boy cousins and uncles. And then also, again, I'm from Chicago. I spent part of my childhood in Inglewood, and anybody who's not from the Chicago area, Inglewood
Is the wood.
it's a hood.
The
And
wood. Is the
you know
hood.
and and I was raised by peaches. So,
That girl, I'm right here.
and she wasn't that kind of peaches, but she was the kind of peaches that would go to war. She was that kind of peaches. Okay. So, which meant, you kind of had to be tough, right? She grew up with boy cousins and uncles. And then of course she's a single parent. And then, we also grew up in a time where, folks were still throwing hands, right? Right. In other words, for those folks who don't know, that means fighting. And she would always say, you're right. She's like, don't start a fight. But if somebody puts their hand, you know what? You need to handle that.
That's
And
right.
because she wanted me to be able to protect myself.
Right.
So she didn't want me to again be bullying people or again starting fights or doing things that were harmful, but she did want me to be able to protect myself. And so there were a few fights that I had because of course, there's some folks that they picked on me. And again,
Right.
I had to learn how to defend myself. So the thing of it is though, as a woman, when you grow up having to protect yourself, having to defend yourself, the challenge with that is that it brings in masculine energy.
Whew. And I was what? We talked about this, what, 4 days ago? That is when I learned the core of masculine energy. Then. And I was like, oh, thank God I get it
I said to you, I was like, goddess,
now.
because as I told you, I define goddess as divine feminine energy.
Yes.
It's important to come from your feminine energy, especially when you're dealing with the man in your life. And in particular, to circle back to what I said to you in that initial conversation, I said one of my dear friends and master teachers, his name is Anthony Williams. I call him Tony Williams. They call him Speedy. But we grew up together. But when you're like, tell me, when you're young like that, as boys and girls, you don't really connect because we're talking about grade school, like grammar school. You don't really connect with each other like that. And then it was actually in 2010 when we started having, high school reunions and that kind of thing, where he and I really reconnected. And I was like astonished at the level of wisdom that he had. I mean, just jaw dropping.
That's awesome.
And at that time, I really didn't feel like I really understood men, and I was tired of digging ditches and throwing myself in. So when I found out that he had all of this wisdom, and I was like, I'm going to learn as much as I can from him. And so he had such tremendous wisdom that I started calling him Master Yoda. And it was a whole lot of, you must unlearn what you have learned.
And trying to peel away those layers, honey, you feel like you have just taken all the epidermis off the top and gotten to the flesh, but you have to unlearning what you've been taught and creating this, coming into yourself is like getting a home that you're getting ready to rehab and sell, but you're gutting it down to the studs. And while you go and put up these new walls, you're creating this new space where new memories, you're a new experience, you're learning to live again. So I had to gut my energy. I had to go in and do a like just a spiritual gut. And I'm still working. I still got a bathroom I need to finish and two more bedrooms personally,
You had to strip it down to the studs.
down to the studs. Actually, I wanted to tear it all down and just rebuild it. New studs, new 4x4s. I want to bring everything up to code to today.
Okay. So, one of the things that he taught me that I shared with you during that initial conversation was that with everything that Black men go through out in this world, they don't want to come home to drama at the house. And when I thought about what he was saying, I was like, you know what? That makes perfect sense to me. And that doesn't, it's really not about gender as much as do I want peace at home? And if I want peace at home, again, to bring it back to me and my standards and values, then how do I choose to, some people say show up. How do I choose to communicate? How do I choose to behave? Who do I pick? And so my conversation with you, and at that time was around that. And again, and I told, again, I'm a Star Trek and Star Wars person. So I took that and what he taught me, and I call that the prime directive.
And it is very much needed because if we would have had this conversation 3 years ago and you would have said to me, Black men experience so much that they don't need to come home to any drama, my response to you would have been, well, if they don't start it, I would have completely, I'm just being completely honest here, I would have completely said, well, they need to do this, they need to do that, they, without taking any responsibility myself for me to work on myself. And when you say that now, being in the space that I'm in, I can hear it and appreciate it. I
Well, I
can.
think, and I think the other thing too that helped is that I said to you, a lot of people in terms of when it comes to relationship, they act like one equals two. And you kind of got this kind of quizzical look, right?
Because when you said, I was like, but you need another one.
Right. And I say 1 + 1 = 2, right? That means you plus the other person equals two. And that's if we can remember that the two doesn't show up just because of the one person. The one person is not arguing with themselves. One person is not is not communicating or not communicating, with themselves. They're not doing certain things or not doing certain things with themselves. And so even if you can, I tell people, think of it like this, something neutral, the weather is the weather. What does that mean? That if you took 10 people and put them, just put them out in the weather at a moment in time, you get a range of experiences. Some people gonna like it, some people gonna love it, some people be neutral, some people like, eh, and some people like, I can't stand this. So is it the weather Or is it your perspective of the weather that creates your experience? And so the same thing is true for relationships. It's that person and what they're saying or doing, but then it's also your perspective about what they're saying or doing, your then how you feel about it and what you do in response to it, right? That then creates the entire experience, i.e., the two. So what I was therefore trying to help you come to the understanding of is that yes, that person is that person saying and doing and behaving the way they say and do things. And you're the additional ingredients in there, right? It's like in order to have a cake, another way to look at it is in order to have a cake. you got the flour and you got sugar and you got butter and maybe you got whatever else it is you have in there. It's not just one of those ingredients by itself that makes a cake. So if we can take ownership of how we show up, how I think about it, because what you value, somebody else may not value. What you think is good and great and wonderful, somebody else may go, ah, I don't like that. I don't want that. So it's, do I take ownership and responsibility of me and what I'm contributing? And if I want peace, then I need to be peace. Or another way I like to say it is, don't want peace in the world and be raising hell at home. Or don't be raising hell at home, but want peace in the world. Right? It doesn't make it's just not logical, right? So again, I was thinking about the fact that, peace at home to me is a wonderful idea. It's a wonderful experience, not something that should be restricted to men only, but myself as a woman, I want peace at home too. So what do I do in order to create peace, in order to sustain peace? And so, again, I was encouraging you to come from your feminine energy. Now, let me say this too, just so, because I was excited about this. The other thing that I know is for women folk who don't have that kind of men in terms of guidance and input, or oftentimes men will be present, but again, like I said, they don't always talk to us, don't always share what they think, how they feel. Then, we as women really miss out on the ability and the opportunity to understand them in order to meet them, at least in a way that helps things work, because we're wired differently. We're wired differently. We think differently. We feel that we move differently. So how can I really kind of meet you when I don't really understand you? Right. So one of the things that's going to happen in a future episode is Master Yoda is going to be appearing with me to have a conversation with maybe one or two other of what I call my menfolk, the menfolk in my village. So,
I'm tuning in for that one.
yeah, it is definitely one you don't want to miss. I mean, we are talking about some brilliant, eloquent, insightful, powerful African American men sharing their wisdom and their knowledge. And so it's definitely one that you and the audience are not going to want to miss,
I'm
right?
tuning in. I'm gonna be here for the comments. Yes.
So that was one of the things, though, to bring that back around to you, is that I wanted to impart in you, in terms of that wisdom and that understanding, that you are such a powerful creator, and in your unawareness, that is through your choices, right, that our power resides. And if your choices are creating results and experiences that you don't want, then you have the power to make a different choice, right? You have the power to choose differently and to create it differently. So rather than doing the this, with your significant other, how do we help diffuse that? And at least, the way that I'm showing up and coming from that, again, that feminine energy, but also looking at the person I picked, is this a good choice for me, i.e. a good fit? And what I mean by tell people is I wear a size 11 shoe, but my foot doesn't fit every size 11 shoe. So the relationships are very similar. It's not necessary. It's not that they're a bad person or you're a bad person. It just may not be a good fit, right? And just like you try multiple shoes, every 11 doesn't fit, so you need to pick a shoe that fits. But Lord have mercy, please. Don't I'm trying to put my foot in a 10 or a 9. Oh. Right? There's going to be some pain and struggling and suffering in that, right?
And you know what? Using a shoe analogy, just because the shoe is cute, I'm not going to allow it to hurt my feet. Just because he's cute, if it's not right, it's not supposed to be in my life. I have to understand if that's not a good fit. So, they have to work
You know what, my
the language.
I'm laughing because my mother calls those kind of shoes.
What's that?
Those are the she said, those cute shoes. Those are the ones that you go pay your tithes in and then come back and sit down. She said,
No,
those
they're
are not
not
your
made for walking.
No, they are not made for walking.
They're not made for walking. You can't, and the killer part about it is that you can't get anywhere in them. They're just cute. They're
Well,
just cute.
you know what? You can get someplace, but it ain't gonna be far, and your
Right.
feet don't hurt.
Exactly. Yeah, you can take a few steps, but you're not gonna come back in those same shoes unless you just want your feet to hurt. Unless you enjoy pain, you're gonna put those shoes on again. Again, you're gonna repeat the lesson until you figure out that it hurts too much and you learn the lesson and stop repeating it.
Yes. So
But one of the things that you helped me with very much so was how to operate in my feminine energy, because I was yesterday years old or 2 days ago years old when I learned what that was, because me and my significant other had a conversation and I told him, I said, men are always saying how women are so masculine or they have all this masculine energy, but it's never explained to us what that looks like. And I've always associated it with, okay, wear some makeup, wear a dress, those type of things, when that's not even it. That's so far from the truth. So once I learn from you exactly what that is, I'm very, very intentional about making sure I move through that energy.
And so I think really to kind of bring this home, what I want to communicate is that it's important that we spend time and energy and effort to look within and to go deep. And it's a challenge because many of us are so wounded that one, we don't want to face the fear, we don't want to face the pain. And I think, frankly, many of us are afraid to look within ourselves because we'll find that we're irrevocably damaged, right? That whatever it's within us, it's so damaged that there's no way to repair it, right? There's no way to redeem it. And not only that, it's so uncomfortable and it's so painful that and things, some things have been so harmful that we don't want to face it. We just don't want to go there.
And that's
And
true.
the difficulty with that is Is as you like, one of the tools you said I gave you was the bottle of hand sanitizer. Is that what? Tell
You
people.
know, that's my favorite one.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
Okay, so I have a bottle, a bottle of hand sanitizer that sits on my desk, and what I tell people is, when I hit the pump, what's coming out of that bottle of hand sanitizer? Hand sanitizer, right? It's not lotion, it's not soap, it's not anything else. So people are the same way. When we show up, we just draw out of them what's in them. So if it's a lot of hurt, pain, that's what's coming out. That's why I say hurt people, right? If it's joy, et cetera, that's what's coming out of them. So it's important for us to recognize, to discover again who we are, separate and apart from what we've done, what's been done to us, and to be willing to and to be willing to go deep. And I think, that was again one of the reasons why I wanted us to be able to share our conversations, because I think that, spiritually, you and I connect with each other. We're so similar, but because we both have one, the desire to have greater demonstrations of our infinite God potential, we understand that that has to come through a human brain, and that we have to take care of it, develop it in order to have the greatest expression. But then understand that we have to heal and release that energy and those dysfunctional thinking and feelings and behavior that keep us with a limited demonstration. And so, to your point about how do you do these things, or when someone's saying to you certain terms, what does that mean? So again, I think we have to spend time looking inward and going deep. What do I think? How do I feel? Not only what did I do, but why did I do it? What was I looking to accomplish? Did I, did not? And what was my why? Right?
And you have to be honest about what you uncover with your why. Your why is fear of rejection. Your why is fear of abandonment. Your why is whatever else that you experience. You have to be honest with yourself and accept your whys.
Right. I settled for June bug because I thought I didn't deserve better.
And although I would never say that, although I would never say that, my choices display that. So what I wasn't saying verbally, I was demonstrating in my choices. And that meant more to me than anything because I want my words and my choices and my actions to be in alignment, to match who I am and how and not I don't everybody doesn't need to know how much I love myself, but it's important for me to know who I am.
Yes. And so, but and again, to in terms of why you're doing what you're doing, I picked this person to partner with because he represents, and I'm talking obviously in heterosexual relationships, he represents my childhood demonstration of manhood, right? How men think, feel, move in the world, what they do, what they don't do, how they communicate, don't communicate, do they show up or not? Are they consistent? Are they reliable? Are they dependable? Do they know how to fight? All of that programming is can be oftentimes again in our unawareness, in our subconscious. But you have to understand again what your why is in order to be able to change things. And there's a tendency, if you got weeds, to cut the weeds off above ground, but the problem is they grow back because you didn't pull them suckers out by the roots. So the what you thinking, which is the why, right? What you believe, which is the why, your models, is your why. You got to deal with those roots in order to again make changes. So, you have to spend some time with yourself. You have to look inward. And again, you have to, and I want to just definitely want to leave this because we, it's about time for us to wrap up and, push, I would say push the pause button because, we will continue. Is you've got to, again, love yourself. And again, I had this conversation with Master Yoda. And at the time, so some years ago, and he said he was having that conversation with his daughter. She has to love herself. And I said, I bet you she looked at you with this quizzical look on her face, right? He said, yeah, she did. I said, you know why? He's like, no. I said, because she didn't have a clue as to how to do what you were telling her to do. I said, so again, the importance of loving yourself, though, is the fact that you don't ask the world to do more for you than you're willing to do for yourself. It's just illogical. So like I said, if I have, you know what I'm saying? If I have a bottle of water, I hand it to you and then go, can I have some water, please? Okay. You'd be like, what? It doesn't make any sense. You just hand the water. Why are you giving it to me? The same thing, but the same thing is true with self-love. So how do you do that? I tell people, and I got this from Louise Hay of Hay House Publishing. She would say, look in the mirror at least twice a day and say, I love you. And when and what I call is, there's gonna be some resistance come up. When I call it the if I say I love me, right? But this, but I did this wrong, but I messed this up, but I didn't get this right, but I don't have enough money, but my, thighs are too big, but my hair isn't this, whatever your reason is or condition, that's practicing conditional love. You want to practice unconditional love. And for some people, it's so hard, they can't even look themselves in the eyes
That's
and
true.
say, I love you. And again, there's a difference between what you do, what was done to you versus who you are. And what you're practicing is unconditional love. So I want to leave people with that in terms of understanding that as a powerful creator, you create your experiences by what you think, feel, and the choices that you make, and therefore the results and the experiences you create. Begin by spending time with you, looking within, going deeper and deeper, peeling those layers back, discovering your whys, and frankly, discovering your wonderfulness, right? That you already whole, complete. You don't need that from somebody else. If you feel in love, it's because you're withholding the love from yourself.
Game changer.
Right?
Yes.
If you want to feel loved, love you, and is equally as important, accept the love of the creator who loves you unconditionally always.
Absolutely.
It's just sitting there waiting for you. He's like, I love you. No one loves me more than you. No one loves you more than me, the creator says. Right? So it's just sitting there waiting for us to just accept and receive what was offered to us before we came here in this body and what awaits us in every moment. So that is what I encourage people and recommend for people. And just be your unique, wonderful selves. Right? Today, this moment, always. And if you fall down, just begin again.
Pick my wonderful self right back up. Come on, girl. Get up, girl.
That's right, goddess. You divine feminine energy.
Get up, girl.
That's right. It's a new moment. It
It is.
is. So
It
I so with that, we're gonna push the pause button because again,
is.
we will do this again.
Okay.
Being unapologetically real,
Okay.
right?
Yes.
And so with that, this has been Dr. Valen A. Durr. Awakening and empowering you to live out your infinite potential, to live life in the sweet spot. And I will see you next time. Thank you for joining us today in the sweet spot. Share, follow, and like us on social media. To learn more, please visit ballinadurmd.com, spelled ballinadurmd.com. Join us next week, and remember, when you heal your mind, all things are possible.